Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord this evening. Man, beautiful day today, and good to be in God's house. Good to have every one of you here, and it's Mother's Day, and there's a lot of people that's moved around and relocated, but we're glad that you're here tonight. Amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and I wish that you'd help us to remember Erica in prayer, Erica Rankins. And if nothing changes, they're probably going to be thinking about putting a trach in for tomorrow. I'd really like to see the Lord intervene on that. And she's really improving. She's getting better and doing better. But they're up against a time frame on how long she can be on a respirator without, without damaging her throat. And so we need to pray that the Lord just really let her take some strides here in the next few hours, that they see some major improvement, and maybe even to the point with, and I was telling you Wednesday night, if you remember, that young lady in our church had a car accident, and the night before they was going to put her on to do the trach on her, she reached up in her sedated sleep and pulled her respirator out, started breathing normally, and they never had to do it. And I'm not encouraging Erica to do that. What I'm saying is sometimes God can intervene and move and do a miracle and heal, and there's no need for that. I believe that God could heal her tonight. Her breathing could go back to normal tonight, and they could say, we don't even need a respirator on this girl, and let's take her off and instead of even having to do a trach. So let's pray that God moves on her tonight, that we see some improvement, and that God would just, if nothing else, just move this back once again until she's she's coming off this respirator. Let's pray about that, all right? Amen. And anybody else have a need tonight? Brother Ader. All right, that's a member of that. Sister Ellis. Sister Nicole is sick, okay? Brother Larry. Okay. Amen. Remember that. Sister Wilma? All right. Let's remember that. Sister Wilma's nephew. Sister Dawn? Okay. Let's remember those needs. Sister Elaine? All right. Somebody, Sister Carolyn? Yes, let's continue to pray for Dale. Lord continues to work in his life. Brother Gardner? Oh, okay. Okay. Sister Gardner, remember her in prayer. Remember Brother Campbell? Remember him in prayer. Do they have a time frame on his procedure, how long that they're going to watch him or nothing? No. Okay. Let's just really pray the Lord touch Brother Campbell. He needs the Lord to really heal him. All right. Let's pray for our service tonight that the Lord will move for us. Amen. Dear Jesus, Lord, we love you tonight, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your help. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and blessings, oh Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, that you're here tonight to move on our need. Lord, would you touch Erica tonight? Lord, touch her body. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would just let her breathing continue to improve, Lord. God, let it somehow in the next few hours, Lord, that they could see such signs of progress. And God, that she would begin to get better, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask you to touch her in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch Sister Adair's aunt, Lord God, that you would touch her, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord God, that she's a child of God. We ask you, Lord God, that you administer to her today. Touch Sister Nicole, Lord. God, give her healing in her body tonight, Lord Jesus. God, I pray for Sister Elaine's sister, Lord, that you would touch her. Touch Sister Gardner, God. Give her healing tonight and touch her body. Lord, I pray for Brother Campbell, Lord Jesus. God, that you would give him healing in his body tonight. Lord, Brother Larry's uncle, Lord, I pray that you protect his home, Lord, from these wildfires that are spreading across Florida. I pray, God, that you would touch there, Lord, and move for him. God, I ask you to do it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know, God, that you're able, Lord God, to take care of every situation. God, I pray that you would move for Sister Wilma's nephew. Lord, that you would touch his body. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give him healing. I know, God, that you can do a miracle for him, whether it be leukemia or chickenpox, Lord. You're able to heal his body, and I ask you to do that tonight. God, we ask you to move in this service, Lord. Let the power of God come down. Let the presence of God move on our heart, Lord Jesus. God, let us enter into your presence. And God, let us feel a moving of the Holy Ghost. We ask it in Jesus' name. God, and we'll give you the glory and we'll give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands and worship the Lord tonight? Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Lord. God, that you can hear us when we pray, Lord. God, that you can move upon our needs, Lord. God, I ask you, Jesus, to move mightily, Lord God. I give you the glory tonight, Lord, for all that you've done. God, for all of your good blessings to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus together tonight. Hallelujah. My God can do anything, anything, anything. My God can do anything. He made this earth in all its fullness, and all time shall bring. My God can do anything. My God can do anything, anything, anything. My God can do. In all its fullness, and all time shall bring. My God can do anything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like this evening. Amen. Brother Adair, why don't you come and help us with some songs tonight? Amen. Good to have, amen, all of you with us tonight. Good to have Kevin Miller. Good to see him tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We went to the church we used to go to many years ago. And this morning I've been with my mother and enjoyed the service, sort of. It's not like it used to be. Changed. Songs of the Lukewarm Church. I surrender some. Take my life and let me be. Fill my spoon, Lord. Not my cup. Fill my spoon. Oh, how I like Jesus. Where he leads me, I will consider following. I am fairly certain that my Redeemer lives. Pillow of ages, fluffed for me. I thought that was interesting. You know why things are funny when we poke fun at people or situations? Is because we know there's an element of truth in what's there. And I don't want that to be in my life. I want God to be found pleased with what I do. Not who I am, but what I have become because of him. Danny Brim's wife, what's your sister-in-law's name? What's Danny's wife? Connor girl, yeah. Did you have to think about it? She sung this song. We're not going to sing it, but in the Green Book in 295, it's called Such Love. I can't ever remember hearing it before. And it has always stuck with me that God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss, nor rest till he had planned to bring me nigh. How wonderful is love like this. Listen to the second verse. That Christ should join so freely in the scheme, although it meant his death on Calvary. Did ever human tongue find nobler theme than love divine that ransomed me? Such love. Wow. No greater love hath any man than this, that he would lay down his life for another. Whether you knew him or not, would sacrifice his life. That's an excellent song. Let's turn to page 198 and sing "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Ladies, I hope you've had a good Mother's Day. Kids, I hope you help them have a good Mother's Day. And dads, you're like me. Hopefully you did a good job. Probably not. But you've got 364 other days. Make them feel like they're loved and like they're cared for, and you appreciate them. I told somebody this morning, I said, Sheila got the worst end of our deal, but I thank God for her, and she's the mother of my children. I praise God. 198, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis
so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge beneath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust. Trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to see, just from Jesus simply take life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him all. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, sing it again. And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. I know that thou art with me, will be with me to thee. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, and oh, for grace to trust him more.
Hallelujah. 131.
Hallelujah.
Tell you what, I was just tickled to see Dale. Didn't know him, didn't know who he was or who he was kin to. Pray. That just thrilled my heart.
Praise God.
But you know what I got as thrilled by? I watched his mother, when nobody else was standing up, She didn't look around a little embarrassed, like, I hope nobody's worried about me. Am I making a scene? She was thanking God, irregardless. It didn't matter who was around. It didn't really matter what was going on in the rest of the service. She was thanking God. That kind of spirit does things. That kind of response, God can use people and He can move through them. But she was like, I don't care. And it made me happy. You're just excited no matter what He did for others, and I hope everybody else got a blessing. I have a reason to rejoice, and in spite of what's going on, or irregardless, I'm praising my Savior. And you know, He still saved a week later. I'm not saying you can't backslide, but you can still rejoice a week later. It doesn't matter. Doug Phillips' wife, Sister Lori, would do that. She would just stand in the service and praise God.
Right.
I like that. Well, my nature isn't to do that. Then that's okay. Kind of praise Him where you're at. But continue to praise God. 131, leaning on the everlasting arms. And what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. And oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Thank you, God. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Hallelujah. And I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure. I'm leaning on the everlasting, verse 1. And what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. And what a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. I'm leaning, thank you God, Shiro Narama Kusaya. What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning. Thank you, God. Safe and secure from all. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Dennis preached a good message Wednesday night.
Hallelujah. Yes. Wonderful.
He preached a good message.
Hallelujah.
And there was a reason Dennis preached. Actually, there's reasons why preachers preach certain messages on certain days. I understand Mother's Day, and I assume that's the direction Brother David went this morning. Although knowing him, he could have come in the back door on it to get there. But there are times that preachers during revivals pastors preach certain things. And there was a precious presence of God here Wednesday night trying to stir probably all of us in here, trying to move us and trying to change us. But did you sense? I mean, I grew up in the Church of God, and I tell you, they preached it straight. They preached it hard, and they didn't really. Charles Finney could have cared less what you thought of him when he got done. He laid it out straight. In fact, if he knew there was a sinner in the service, Charles Finney would try to preach so hard and look right at him. And I'll look at Brother Jeff Mifflin. And he would say whatever he was preaching right to them. He wanted them to get saved before they left.
Right.
Wednesday night, I told Sheila, I said, Monday at Robbie's house, I was so troubled. And I didn't tell anybody except her. When we sat down to eat, he was doing some wiring. I felt like I could cry, and I thought, well, I wonder what's going on. I always think of Josh and difficulties he's having. Tuesday, I was helping Robbie. And I was outside walking. It was getting late from corner of the house to corner. Tears come to mind. I thought, God, what is the heaviness? What is this about? And Wednesday night, I even thought, God, is it Josh? Is that what's going on? And I think God was speaking to us about getting ready. Everyone. But it's just not getting ready. I told Sheila, I know I've felt that spirit before and I couldn't place it. What was that spirit that I felt? And then it dawned on me what it was. 20 years ago, we were going to a church in State Park, an Assembly of God. And Sunday night, it was just like this. There wasn't anything special about it. We walked in the service. I talked to some people. We greeted them before church. We had a big church, long, but not many people. I talked to different ones. I remember in specific Ruth Burns. She had adopted a boy when he was 3 weeks old. And Steve was 13 years old. He had on a London Fog jacket. And she was commenting about how much he had grown up. I talked to Steve, standing right about where Brother Dennis is. Monday was the space shuttle Challenger. Before some of you, that's the day it blew up. And I thought, I wonder why I'm sad. I guess because all those people died. I come to prayer meeting on Monday night. And as I knelt down to pray, I felt such a heaviness that I prayed for an hour. Because I felt like God was going to take Robbie's life. And I said, God, why are you doing this to me? I don't understand. I feel like I have to give Robbie up. And I prayed for at least an hour to finally said, God, if you're going to take Robbie's life, then do it. It burdened me so heavy. That was the same spirit I felt here. We found out that Ruth Burns had went home that night and killed Stephen. Problems, they were having some marital trouble, and she wanted to send him on to heaven in front of her. It was on the news. And here's the thing, they found Stephen's arms cut. He tried to ward off who he thought he was mother. And I told Sheila, and I'll take responsibility if I'm wrong. But listen to me. You think God sometimes has services like that to wake us up? There's specific reasons, and it wasn't for people that wasn't here Wednesday night.
Come on.
God is doing his best to shake you. We all think we're going to heaven, don't we?
Come on.
Half of you may be the virgins that don't make it.
Hallelujah.
Not in here. Jesus said there were 10 virgins, 10 that had oil, 10 that had lamps. They just had lost. They didn't have enough to get them through, and they missed the bridegroom. God sends wake-up calls sometimes, people. And you know what happens? You can walk out of here Wednesday night, and I bet some of us haven't even thought about that much, but that was no accident. God is doing his best to wake up different ones. Now, what you do with it is your business. But if God could shake you from it and could stir you and say, God, is it my child? Is it my spouse? God, is it me? Are you trying to stir me because Jesus is coming? The bridegroom has already turned around and he's ready to step out in the clouds and wake us up. The parable of the 10 virgins is a personal thing. Where do you stand before God? Have you got comfortable in the condition you're in? Do you keep serving God the same way you always have? Then there's going to be an issue. There's a problem. You're getting stale in your relationship with God. I've done it. And from time to time, I still try to do it. But God tried. He'll shake you if you're shakable. He'll move you if you're movable. Spirit of God, stir our hearts, because if the harvest grain is on the stalk, the corn or the grain at the head, and it's falling today, how many souls lost out with God? How many souls went to hell? I had a good day, Brother Adair. I'm glad of it. But everybody didn't. It didn't go well for everybody today. Mark my word. And listen, I'll take a chance. I would rather be wrong, Bobby. I'll take a chance on it. I would rather you think ill of me and say, boy, does he miss the mark sometimes? I don't care missing sometimes. It's not the ones that I miss that bother me. It's the ones that you're right on. I have asked God, and I know you have too, but I can't judge you. I can't account for you. I have asked God to save people, change them, or kill them. That's pretty rough. Well, Dave Reaver did the same thing when he was in Army in basic camp. And the guys would spit on the back of his head when he was praying at his bunk. He said, oh God, kill him. Three of them. Three sinners that gave him such fits. They picked on him. He saw every one of them come to the Lord because he never quit praying for them. But let me tell you, if you're not in the place God can use you, if I'm not there, come on. I'm useless. I may make my family, help them get to heaven. But I said, oh God, stir my heart that I would walk in fullness of spirit. Does God know what he's doing? He knows exactly what he's doing. And he knows exactly how to accomplish it. And I would love to see God in this service move somehow. How? I'm not going to tell him how. He knows what to do. But Finney said he would pray for people. And several cases. I've got a book. It's a simple book about Finney. I can't tell you the times the people walked out of his service and they fell over dead. They got run over by a horse. They had a heart attack. Because they made fun of the move of God. Because Finney was a man of God. I'm not saying you're going to lead 100,000 people to Christ. That's not my point. My point is being obedient unto the call from heaven. And that spirit has to come. When was the last time you couldn't get up from prayer? You knelt down and your heart was so heavy. The burden was so strong. It just kind of possessed you even during the day. We've lost our first love. I have sometimes. And you know what David did when he was driven from the kingdom? He encouraged himself and said, I must go on for God. And he lifted himself up. The men wanted to kill him. And he went on with the Lord. And I want to encourage you, press on. Because God does not waste a service like Wednesday night so that Dennis Heath can go from here and say, wow, there was a great spirit. He doesn't use that so Arlene can say, what a great spirit. There was. There was. But it wasn't by chance. Wake up! Wake up! But I'm content where I'm at. So were the five foolish virgins.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's 5 to 12.
Hallelujah.
It's closer than you think. I understand somebody could die tomorrow. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to scare you. But if your heart could open up a little bit to the Spirit of God and said, God, make sure I'm ready. Make sure I've got, don't wait till midnight. And it's 5 till. In an hour when you think not. I'm not trying to play on that. But I thought of this Wednesday night. And I said, God, if it's my family, you start with them. But if it's somebody else, always give them a chance. Always give them a chance. Well, you're just trying to scare me. Listen, if God can't pull you in, I can't. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart and let him draw you. Let's turn to 541 and sing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
Hallelujah.
I'll be there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is good, though. I'd rather serve God. And I mean it. Take my job. Take my kids and my wife. But give me Jesus. I can make it, Brother Massey, if I've got the Savior. Job said, though he slay me, everything I have of value is gone. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him. I won't turn around. I'm done.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the earth, yonder I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall get to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, for me, for I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. You may look for me, for I'll be there. Glory to his name. And you may look for me, for I'll be there.
Listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. And I'll be somewhere listening, somewhere listening, somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, somewhere listening, somewhere listening for my name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible tells us two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be in the bed, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be in the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Man, sometimes no matter where we're at, I want to be ready no matter where I'm at. If I'm in church, I want to be ready. I want to be ready, but it don't matter if I'm in home, in my house, I want to be ready. Don't matter if I'm driving down the street in my car, I want to be ready to go. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. Amen. I'll be ready at any moment, at any time. Amen. Because I believe he's coming soon. Brother Dennis's message on Wednesday night was challenging to us all. Anybody that's a child of God would be challenged by that message. Amen. That we realize that we're living in the last days. Not only are we living in the last days, but do you remember there was a time back just 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when people preached about the coming of the Lord on a regular basis. It was more common than ever before to hear of the coming of the Lord. Now it's kind of lost its touch. It's kind of old thing, old stuff. But I'll tell you what, it's just as real and still going to happen. And the Lord is coming back. Amen. And I want to be ready for him. Don't you? Hallelujah. I want to be ready for the Lord when he returns. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's receive the offering tonight. If the brothers come and help us tonight. Amen. I love the Lord tonight. Praise God. Amen. Brother Heath, ask the Lord's blessing on the offering, please.
King when he comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He is coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, he is coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He is coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Amen. And that's why we say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sister Susan, come and be getting ready to sing for us, if you would. Amen. While she's coming, I want to just make a couple announcements a week from tomorrow, Monday the 21st, we'll be having a cleanup out at the camp kitchen, 9 o'clock in the morning. We need all those that can help us out and meet there at the kitchen at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll work on getting it cleaned and also bring a lunch with you. It'll take a little while for us to do this. More people we have, though, the quicker it gets done. Easier it is for everybody, so just turn out as best you can and help us out 9 o'clock on Monday the 21st. Man, and we appreciate those that have been helping out the camp, keeping it mowed. It's starting to look really nice, and things are starting to come together, and we appreciate those that's helping with that. And on June 1st, there'll be a reception for Josh and Kayla, and if you can, be with us on that evening. I think it's 7 o'clock in the evening on that Friday evening. All right? Amen. Sister Susan?
More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than all this world's attire, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Take my possessions, both great and small, friends and family, you can take it all. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, enter in, my child, you won." More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than all this world's attire, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Take my possessions, both great and small, friends and family, you can take it all. More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Oh, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, enter in, my child, you won." More than anything in my life, I've got to make it. Oh, more than anything in my life, I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, enter in, my child, you won." More than anything in my life, I've got to make it.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible tells us, said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. Better to enter into the kingdom of heaven maimed than to be cast into hell's fire whole, right? The Bible says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better to enter into heaven blind than it is to go to be cast into hell's fire, amen, with whole. Thank God that, you know what? You don't have to pluck your eyes out. You don't have to cut your hand off. But what it is telling is how important it is that we make heaven. Amen. There is nothing in this world worth missing heaven for. Nothing worth it. It don't matter what it is. It don't matter if it's a job. It don't matter if it's money, possessions. It does not matter what it is. There's nothing in the world worth missing heaven for. Amen. Praise God. I want Sister Carrie to come and sing for us tonight, if she would. Amen. And while she's coming, Sister Ruth said, went to her, be with her mom today, pulled a big surprise on her mom, and called her this afternoon about three times and talked to her. But she said that when she got there, her mom had sung that morning. And when she had testified before singing, she got up and said, "You know, when your kids are in the ministry, that's one of the drawbacks. You don't get to have them with you on Mother's Day." Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, you know. And so everybody was feeling sorry for her. Then Ruth came in about almost before church was over. She would come walking up the center aisle, and everybody just gasped when she walked in. Sister Gallagher didn't see her until she got all the way to the front, and Brother Gallagher saw her when she got to the front. And he's, you know, very quietly said, "Oh, Ruthie!" And so then it was just a big surprise for them. And I got home. Brother Gallagher had a message on my answering machine. "Oh, David, I wished you could be here, but thank you for sending Ruth." Yeah, I could tell he wasn't missing me all that much, but he had his baby Ruth with him, and that's all that really, really mattered. So I'm glad she got to go and be with her. And she'll be coming home Tuesday. You'll be praying for her. She travels. I worry about her when she's on the road by herself, but you'll be praying for her, all right? Amen. The Lord's good, and He always adds His blessings to us. Amen. I can't never say that God's done me wrong or that I've been done wrong by serving the Lord. Amen. I wouldn't trade not one day serving Jesus. Not one day would I trade serving the Lord. He's been so good to me, right? Amen. Praise God. Sister Carrie.
a body new. He can mend the broken thread that's loose and make it just like new. Just like you, Lord. Just like you, I long to be. To stand alone when you say stand. For Lord, you stood for me. To be a beacon in a dark night. To always shine a godly light. This piece of clay.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Book of Romans tonight. Book of Romans is where we'll start out. Book of Romans, chapter 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget Wednesday night at 7:30 is come to the house of the Lord. Be in church. Romans chapter 12, and we'll read the first two verses there. And verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Those two verses are very common or popular verses that many people have memorized. But man, when you look at what that verse is telling us, it's not an easy verse. You know, that's one of the hard sayings of Scripture. It's not an easy thing when he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. When I think about the worship to God and worship, we live in a day where people have forgotten, and we're not forgotten, they just have never learned how to worship. To really, truly worship the Lord God. We've got churches that are built around worship, but they don't know how to worship. They have worship teams, but they don't know how to worship. They really don't. They sing worship songs, but they don't know how to worship. They really don't. They have people that they have all kinds of worse forms of worship, but they have really never learned how to worship God, how to worship the Lord. There, with worship, there is a price that comes with worshiping God. Do you know that? To really, truly worship the Lord Jesus, there's a price. It costs you something. It costs you something to worship God. You can't just come into the house of God and lift your hands. Is that a form of worship? Yes, it's a form of worship. But to really go into a really to really worship God, it costs you something. Costs you something. Remember what David said when he was getting ready to offer sacrifices unto the Lord, offering sacrifices. It's a form of worship. That was worshiping God. Before he was when he was offering, going to offer the sacrifices, the landowner said, "Hey, use this property, use these stones. Here's the cattle, here's the thing." And David said, "No, I will not offer unto the Lord anything that costs me nothing." There is a cost, there is a price that comes with worshiping God. It's not as, I'm sorry, but it's not as easy as just coming into church and sitting on a pew and singing a song and lifting your hands. It's not just that easy. It's not easy. You say, "Well, I feel God." Yeah, you feel God. You feel the Lord. But you know what? There's other people that's paying a price in order that you can feel what you feel here tonight. There's some people that's been willing to pay the price to worship God, to worship the Lord Jesus. And I want us to look at a few things here tonight. But when we talk about worshiping God and talking about worshiping the Lord, you know, when the children of Israel, they left the land of Egypt and they were brought out of Egypt, brought out of bondage, and they really didn't know God. They didn't know Him, and they really didn't know how to worship God. They were just, you know, they had been in bondage for so long. They knew about God. They had heard about God. And it had been passed down. Stories had been passed down through the generations. But they really did not know God. They really didn't have that experience with God. And God brought them out with a high hand, brought them out and delivered them by Moses and brought them into the wilderness. And when they got into the wilderness, they came to Mount Sinai. And it was really their first encounter or close encounter with God. And really it frightened them and it struck them with fear and it struck their heart with fear when they came face to face with God for the very first time. For when you see them in Exodus chapter 19 and when they come face to face with God and God is talking to them, let me just read you some of these verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. And let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mountain shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but ye shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, "Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives." And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Their first encounter with God was a fearful thing when they came face to face with God for the first time. God came down with a thick cloud and with lightnings and thunder and with a loud voice as the sound of a trumpet. It struck fear into their heart. And the fear was that, you know what? We can't even get close to God. We can't even come near to the mount where God dwells. Because if we come and we touch the mount, we're going to die. We're going to die. The fear of death. That fear of dying kept them from drawing close to the mountain and coming close to God where they could worship the Lord. And the people contented themselves to stand back. They contented themselves. And the Bible tells us that they, in Exodus 20, that when the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the voice and all that, they said to Moses, "You go to God and you speak thou for us. You speak for us. You go into the presence of God and you intercede for us and speak for us, because we're afraid to come in close to God. We're afraid to come near unto the Lord, and we're afraid to get close to Him. They were content to sit back, and they sent Moses into the mountain and into the presence of God. And there Moses communed with God and talked with God for the people of Israel. God, even in the book of Deuteronomy, we find that the children of Israel, Moses is talking to them, and he's talking to them about how that they sent him in, how that God wanted them to draw near. God longs for them to draw close to Him. One of the problems the children of Israel had is that they were never ready to really draw close to God. They contented themselves to worship God through Moses and through Aaron, and not to come close to God themselves and to make that sacrifice of themselves. Israel's response to stand back and to watch God and to see it afar off. Amen. They felt the earth shake. They felt the trembling. They felt they heard the voice of God. They sensed the presence of God, and they knew God was there. And they stood in awe of what they saw. And they stood in awe of what they experienced. And it's like many times when we come to God, we come into the house of God and we stand in awe of what we feel and what we sense in this place. We know that God is here. We feel His presence, and we know that God is here. You come into church, and when the people begin to worship and the glory of God comes down, you begin to feel it, and you know that God is present, that God is here. Can you say amen? You know that you feel God, and you feel the presence of God, and you know that He's here. But sometimes we content ourselves to stay back and to just to enjoy the fact that we know He's here and not really press in to worship God for ourselves. There's something more for us than just coming and seeing the presence of God. There's something more than just being an observer. There's something more than just standing back and being an observer. The children of Israel, they did not want to go to the mountain. They did not want to come close to God for fear of dying. But let me tell you, that is the only way to get close to God, is to die. That is the only way to really worship God, is to be willing to die. Listen to me now. Amen. If you really want to come close to God and worship the Lord, amen, you have to be willing to die. Whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You've got to be willing to die. Yes, you've got to be willing to die. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, you've got to be willing to let yourself die. You can't stand back and see and observe and watch. And you see, I say, I know God's here and I can feel His presence. And sometimes we stand in awe of God. And is our awe a form of worship? Yes, it's a form of worship, but there's so much more. And then if you're willing to die yourself, if you're willing to die, then you can really learn to worship God. It's when we are willing to die, when we're willing to go into the mount and die, then we can really have communion with God and worship the Lord. Amen. I hope that I can share this with you tonight like I feel it, because I feel in our heart there are so many people that are not willing to surrender their life to God. They appreciate what they feel, and they enjoy what they experience, and they enjoy what they feel at church, but they are not willing to die. Right. Not willing to die completely out. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy and acceptable unto God. Abraham, where was Abraham's greatest form of worship? When was Abraham's greatest form of worship? Was words that he spoke to God? No, it was not. Where was Abraham's greatest form of worship? It was when Abraham took his only son, Isaac, and he went up to a mountain, and he was willing to die. He was willing to give the life of his own son. There was going to be a death. He was going to give the thing, amen, and give the life of his son, the thing that he loved the most. He was going to give it. That was his highest form of worship. That's when you're really worshiping. Worshiping God is not just singing songs. Because there's a lot of people that sing songs about God that there is no worship in their heart. It's only entertainment. It's only something that they sing. Amen. Worshiping God is not just lifting your hands. You lift your hands if somebody sticks a gun in your back. Worshiping God is not just coming and sitting on a pew. Amen. But worshiping God is when you're ready to give the ultimate sacrifice and pay the ultimate price and give yourself completely to God. When you are willing to die, when you are willing to give yourself, that is when you worship God. It's not believing in God, that's not worship. It's not believing God, that's not the greatest form of worship. The Bible tells us that the devils believe and tremble. The devil believes in God. The devil believes that, and the devils tremble. They're scared of God. They stand in awe of God as well. But that is not the greatest form of worship. Man, the greatest form of worship, when you're willing to give yourself to God completely. We're living in a day when the churches, we need revival of the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. In my mind, what's the easiest way and the best way for somebody to be filled with the Holy Ghost is by them worshiping God. When you begin to worship God, the Holy Ghost will come down and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe you've got to worship. And when we encourage you to worship, amen, when you're seeking for the Holy Ghost. But when you're worshiping God, what's the greatest form of worship? The greatest form of worship is to give yourself. Well, why is it that we do not see, amen, so many people being filled with the Holy Ghost in our churches? Because so many people are not willing to give themselves and to die to themselves, amen, and to give themselves completely to God. They want to hold back. They want to worship God. They want to worship Him in the fact like the worship team or like saying words. Amen. But they do not want to give God their life. They do not want to die in order to worship God. That's where it's at, though. You must die. Price the Israelites were not willing to pay was they were not willing to die. But that's the price that many of us are not willing to pay. We're not ready to die. We're not ready to die. We're not ready to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We're not ready to lay ourselves on an altar and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. To worship God, to die. You see, when you look at the temple, everything in the temple was dedicated wholly unto the Lord. Nothing in the temple was to be used for just for common use. Nothing in the temple was to be taken out and just used. Even though there were shovels in the temple, those shovels were not to be taken out to hoe in your garden. Just because there were vessels in the temple did not mean that if you needed an extra cup, you went to the temple and got yourself a cup. They were holy and dedicated unto the Lord, totally consecrated to God. Amen. They were totally given over to Him. Amen. That in our life, amen, we need to get to the point where we are totally given over to the Lord. Amen. 100% dedicated to God, committed and consecrated to Him. You will never worship God to your fullest until you're willing to give yourself completely to the Lord Jesus. Say, well, I sing in the worship team. I sing in the worship service. I lift my hands. But if you've not given yourself, if you've not been willing to die, you've not worshiped God. You've not really worshiped the Lord. Hallelujah. When we worship God, amen, when we begin to worship, we put ourselves in some very uncomfortable places when we begin to give ourselves to the Lord. You know that? He said to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When we begin to give ourselves completely to the Lord, we can put ourselves in some uncomfortable situations because we totally commit ourselves to God. There's a couple of things. First of all, you got to give yourself. You got to give all of you. When a sacrifice was brought into the temple and offered before God, it was not offered in parts. It was offered wholly. When I say holy, I'm talking about W-H-O-W-H, holy, not H-O-L. Why? Holy. Amen. It was offered wholly unto God, completely. You didn't keep back a part of it. But it was by dedicating it wholly to God, a complete sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. That you was able to make that commitment to God. When we make our sacrifice and give our sacrifice unto the Lord, we have to do it completely. We have to give ourselves unreserved to God. Amen. That's every part of us, every area of our life, everything about us. We've got to give it unto the Lord in order for us to really worship Him. What does God enjoy from us? It's not sacrifices of burnt offerings, but it's when we give our life completely to Him. That's what God is looking for. What God is looking for in your life right now in this service tonight. Amen. It's not for you to lift your hand and to say, Lord, I love you, but it's for you to lay yourself on an altar and say, God, I'm giving myself completely to you in every area of my life. I dedicate my life to you. Not talking about just in a church service, but it's all week long, every day, 24/7, 365 days a year. When you commit yourself to the Lord and you've totally given your life to God, that is worship to God. That is worship. What does God take pleasure in? He takes pleasure in a sacrifice that is complete and whole, given to the Lord Jesus. Give your life completely to Him. Completely unto Him. When you make a sacrifice unto the Lord, amen, you are broken. Sacrifice is not given when it's all in one piece, but it's cut into pieces and laid upon the altar. Man, you come before God, you gave all your life, and you come broken before Him. The person that says they have it all together is not giving themselves as a sacrifice, because you have to give it all to God, and you break yourself. Man, you need to come to God broken. He said a broken and contrite spirit He will no wise cast out. Amen. God is looking for those that are willing, amen, to break their life down before Him. Amen. This is not for the curious, but this is for those that are willing to commit themselves completely to God. This is for those that are willing to sell out everything and to say, Lord, I totally surrender my life to you. I die. We find that there's two stories in the book of Acts. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? They came before the disciples, the apostles. And they came with money in their bag and they said, we sold our piece of land for X amount of dollars and here is the money for it. And here we're laying it at the apostles' feet. Peter looked under them and said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? And why have you held back a part of it? Why have you held back? Well, they were not willing to give the whole price. They were not willing to give the whole price, but Ananias and Sapphira were only copycats. They were only trying to duplicate what Barnabas had already done. Because the Bible tells us that Barnabas sold all that he had and came and laid it at the apostles' feet. And when he did that, there was great glory that came upon the church, and Barnabas was recognized for his sacrifice. Ananias and Sapphira wanted the same blessing, but they were not willing to pay the same price. There are so many people, they want to enjoy the blessing of God, but they're not willing to lay it all down. They're not willing to give it all to God. They're not willing to lay it all at Jesus' feet, but they still want the same blessing. It don't work that way. Amen. Many of you lie to the Holy Ghost by saying, I'm giving you my all. In fact, you're holding back from God, and you're keeping back a part of you in your heart that you have not yet surrendered to God. And when you've surrendered it to God, then God can be blessed and bless your life. But until then, you're holding back on God. Amen. You can't be used of God and worship God when you're holding back. Holding back for yourself. Holding back for you. Or taking that which is rightfully God's and holding it for yourself. God's looking for those that are willing to totally surrender and commit their life completely to God. Living sacrifice. Romans chapter 2 says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think God gets joy and gets worshiped out of our sacrifice of ourself. Have you totally surrendered to God? Have you totally surrendered your life to the Lord? Why yes, Brother Brim. I've totally surrendered my life to the Lord. But yet we still hold back that little thing in our life that we have not yet been willing to commit to the Lord. That one area of our life where we're afraid to really talk about it. We don't really want to discuss it. We don't really want to talk about it. We don't want the preacher to name it. We don't want the preacher to name it because we're afraid that God will deal with our heart and we might have to lay something on the altar. When the preacher starts preaching on messages like this, we want to get really, really quiet because we're afraid that God might talk to our heart and we might have to give up the thing that we cherish so much. We might have to lay something down on the altar and give our life. But you'll never be able to truly worship God until you have died, until you're willing to die, until you're willing to go to the altar and say, God, here I am, Lord. God wants everything. God wants everything. God wants everything in your heart. God wants you to present your body as a living sacrifice. Your body. Some of you do the hokey pokey commitment. Right foot in, right foot out. Left foot in, left foot out. We're committed in the areas that we need to be committed that suits us. But we're not ready to commit 100%. We're not ready to make a 100% commitment to God. Amen. We're willing to stick our toe in and test the waters. We're willing to make commitment up to a certain point. But God is challenging our heart today. Amen. That now's the time to go all the way. Lay yourself at an altar and lay it all out before God and commit it all to Him. Commit it all to Him. Commit your future to Him. Commit your finances to the Lord. Some of you have not surrendered your finances to God. You don't want to surrender your wallet or your pocketbook or your bank account because you're afraid what God might ask. You don't want to, you're afraid to do that. Let me tell you, you'll never go wrong surrendering your finances to God. Say, but I want to provide for myself. I want to enjoy things in life. I want to look to the future, make sure I've got enough laid up. Amen. Trust me, if you give it to God, God will make sure that you always have plenty and more than enough. Amen. Make that surrender to the Lord. And you're so worried about your finances, that's why. And you've not been able to commit your career to God either. You've not been able to commit your career and your future to the Lord Jesus, where you're willing to lay it all out on the altar. There are people that struggle through life. You know why? Because they've never really committed it to God. Never really committed it to the Lord. Tonight would be a good time for you to just lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. You know, sometimes we need to give our family to God. Sometimes we devote so much time to ourselves and to our own family pleasures. Man, oh, commit it all to God. Commit your family to the Lord. Commit your family to God. Sometimes we worry about our children. We try to go all the extra mile to make sure our children have everything that they need. Why not just commit it to the Lord Jesus? Why not just surrender it to Him? Not only is it our finances and our family, and it's our future, but you know what? Sometimes it's those very things that's right here in our life, the very personal things. God wants every part of us. God wants you to surrender every part of your life. God wants you to sanctify your life to the Lord. Sometimes, you know, we don't have a problem maybe with some areas of holiness. We don't have problems with some areas of living right and looking right. But let me ask you, have you committed it all to God? Have you committed it completely to the Lord and given yourself completely to God in every area of your life? Amen. I think that when I look around, I say, Lord? Why is we're seeing so few people being filled with the Holy Ghost? Why is it, Lord God, that we pray and we have revival, we have good services? But Lord, we're not seeing people filled. We're not seeing people really touched in their life. I felt like the Lord was pressed on my heart over the last couple weeks. And there needs to be a total surrender. A total surrender. And I'm not talking about just the ones that are seeking, but I'm talking about all of our church. There needs to be a total surrender to God. Of our time, of our abilities, of everything that we have. Are you willing to give yourself completely to God? Hallelujah. I wish the Lord would talk to your heart tonight. Let you realize that you can't really worship Him until you're ready to die. Until you're ready to die. I know you can say, thank you, Jesus, 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 thank you, Jesus. Until you get tongue-tied and somebody might think you're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. You could say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That don't fill you with the Holy Ghost. It don't. Praise you, Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And don't get you filled with the Holy Ghost. Because God's looking for more than just words. God's looking for you to give yourself. Give yourself to God. And would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. If you really want the fullness of God, if you really want the fullness of God in your life, you need to worship Him. But you need to worship Him and be willing to die. Are you willing to die? You say, well, Brother Brim, are you talking about me giving my life that I need to die physically? I'm talking about, are you willing to lay yourself on an altar and die out to sin, to self, and to commit yourself wholly to God? Are you willing to go so far that you're willing to put yourself on an altar and say, Lord, you got all of me now, Lord. Every part of me. The struggles that we have in our life many times are because we've not made a total 100% commitment to God in our life. We've held back a part. We've kept back something. And we've missed out. Let me tell you, the blessings of God are not just because you come and you associate with good people. Blessings of God are not just rubbing shoulders with God's people. And the blessings of God are not just being in a service where you feel God. But the blessings of God come on your life when you make a 100% total surrender to God and you give yourself to the Lord. That's when you can really enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Dear God, I ask you tonight, Lord Jesus, God, that you'd speak to our heart, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus. God, that you'd speak to somebody's heart, Lord God, like you've spoke to mine. God, I want you, Lord God, to know, Lord, that I personally, God, want to give my whole life to you. God, oh God, over the last 2 weeks, Lord, I prayed, Lord God, that I want to give you every area of my life. Completely, Lord Jesus. Completely to you, Lord God, every area of my life. Lord Jesus, family, future. Lord, in finances, it matters not, Lord. I want to give it all to you, Jesus. And Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord God, that you would speak to somebody's heart. God, to that one that's holding back in their life today, Lord Jesus. God, that's not really ever been willing, God, to make a 100% consecration to you. But God, and every time they come before you, Lord, they're holding back some area, something, Lord Jesus. God, and it's that person, Lord God, that you're talking to tonight, Lord. It's that person tonight, Lord Jesus, that you want to touch their life and deal with their heart, Lord God. I believe you want to speak to them tonight in a special way. Lord God, would you talk to them right now? God, let them make that surrender. Let them make that commitment to you, Lord. God, let them change, Lord. Let them be willing to make the change in their life. Let them be willing to surrender, Lord God, everything to you in the name of Jesus. God, when they surrender to you, Lord God, I believe that you'll gloriously come by and touch them with your Spirit. God, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. with our heads bowed tonight, I'm wondering tonight if God's talking to your heart. Is there somebody here to put your hand up and say, Brother Brim, pray with me tonight because I need to make a 100% total surrender to God. Complete surrender to God. God bless you. Yes, there's another. Yes. Is there another to lift your hand? Hallelujah. I need to make a complete surrender to the Lord tonight. How about it? Is there some others? Say, I want to, God bless you. Is there another? Lift your hand. I want to worship God completely. 100%. I want to worship God. I want to give Him everything I have completely. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Those that have lifted your hand, why don't you come right now? Amen. Let's come to this altar tonight because we want to make sure we give you a chance. Amen. To come and put it all out on the altar. Amen. Just fall before God and say, Lord, it's all here. Lord Jesus, this area of my life, Lord, I'm going to surrender it to you right now, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Church, let's come and let's pray with our brothers and sisters tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.